This episode is brought to you in part by Thomas Nelson, publisher of Every Day a Miracle, Trusting the God Who Heals Us Inside and Out. Written and narrated by Matthew Stephen Brown and is available everywhere audiobooks are sold.
Dynamic voices for a diverse church. This is Pass the Mic.
Greetings and God bless. Welcome to another episode of Pastor Mike, Dynamic Voices for a Diverse Church, powered by The Witness, a Black Christian Collective. I'm your host, Tyler Burns. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BurnsClan. Please follow at your own risk. And joining me, as always, is the founder of The Witness. He has a very extensive bio. He is the man, the myth, the legend, the two-time best-selling author, Mr. Blue Check Verified himself. If you want to read his writings, you can go to jamartisby.substack.com. Dr. Jamar Tisby, what's going on, brother?
Feeling good, man. How about you?
I'm great. It is great to see you and be seen by our audience. And listen, if you're watching us on YouTube, thank you so much for tuning in. Please subscribe to us. Go ahead and click that subscribe button. Hit the notification bell so you can get notifications whenever a new Pass the Mic podcast comes out. And if you're listening on podcasts or you want to know if we have podcast accessibility, of course, we've been doing this for 10 years.
So we're on
every single podcasting platform. And you can leave us a 5-star review and also some kind words as well.
Balance out the trolling. That'll help.
Please do. Jamar, we've been talking about this concept that I found very fascinating and interesting that I wanted you to unpack for the people, because I think this is something that a lot of us struggle with and wrestle with and try to figure out.
So I've been thinking about this concept of mentorship and having people who are somehow a little bit further along than you are to guide you, to help you, to, you know, give advice. But I don't remember getting a lot of explicit instruction around this. I don't even know if it's a thing, like, especially for Christians, it's like seeking out a mentor or a guide or somebody like that. Is that a thing? And if so, like, what kind of information? How do we shape that? How do we find the right person? Do we need it? Don't we have Jesus? Don't we have the Bible? Like, isn't that enough? So I just have questions.
This is really interesting. It seems like there's maybe a tinge of frustration there.
There might be.
Okay, so explain this. Why is there a tinge of frustration there?
Well, first of all, I think the frustration comes, we feel like we have to figure this out all by ourselves. I think that's the biggest frustration, is we have internally so many questions, conflicts, difficulties, tensions, and it feels like it's all up to us. And that could be a myriad causes, you know, Western individualism, or the church that we rock with, we don't rock with no more, we move to a new place, whatever it might be. I think the struggle, the burden that so many of us feel is life is hard.
Right.
And it's all up to me. Right. But then the other sense of frustration comes with, well, dang, is there anybody else out there to help me figure it out? And then how can I access that, right? Like, you don't want to trouble people. You don't know who to trust. You don't know how to structure a relationship. Am I calling this person like every day? Am I texting them? Do we set this up like once every 6 months?
What are the mechanics of it?
What are the mechanics of it? Nobody showed me. Where's the playbook?
That's really good. So when you haven't had that, what have you decided to do? Because I think that's where people are, because I think this hits on a point that a lot of young Black Christians and young Christians in general navigate and where they're at personally.
I mean, it's the struggle bus, right? Like, I don't think it's anything dramatic. I think a lot of us just sit in the difficulty and try to muddle through as best we can, stay afloat, keep our heads above water, wishing there was more support, but not really knowing how to get to it. It's not pretty.
Do you think it's harder because of the work that we do to find mentors that are actually accessible, available, but also people who we would respect over the course of a long period of time that could actually help us navigate this? Because I found that for some people, the concept of even mentors, older people, feels like vestiges and shades of white evangelicalism for them, like gatekeepers,
yeah,
versus people who give them encouragement, etc.
Well, for folks in justice work, that obviously they have to share your concern for justice. Maybe it's in your particular lane or not, but they have to have that concern for it. I think what's tricky for me is someone with a similar enough perspective and outlook that they can understand where I'm coming from. But it doesn't have to be identical. But I don't want to. I mean, it's like therapists, right? Like, I've gone through some therapists because we just weren't seeing eye to eye on different things. And it could have been because their version of Christianity was a lot more fundamentalist than mine. Or it could be some other issue, right? So there is a sense of who's kind of in my lane or whose lane am I in, kind of a thing.
Okay, so this brings up an important question, right? So we're talking about mentors, which presupposes maybe a little bit of frustration about mentors, which also presupposes, hey, these people have to be a little bit connected to who we are. And then you say you go through mentors, you go through therapists. Sometimes you're like, is there such a thing as a bad mentor?
I feel like you have more background or a longer history with mentors.
I think there is.
Yeah.
There definitely is something, such a thing as a bad mentor.
Yeah.
And I think bad, I think, may not be the right word to use. I would say, I think there's such a thing as unhelpful mentors.
Not a good fit.
And I think they would just be mentors that do not have the insight into what you are particularly needing them to have the insight in your unique calling,
right,
in your unique purpose, and in your unique life path. They don't have the equipment to be able to help you navigate that, the life experience, et cetera. Because, so there's two things. I would categorize it as there's general mentors.
Uh-huh.
And general mentors are about life, growth and development, maturity as a human, right? Or growth and development, maturity as a wife, mother, father, husband, right? These are general ideas. And then I think there are specific calling-based mentors,
okay,
who are trying to help you navigate leadership or help you navigate entrepreneurship or help you navigate expansion or help you navigate personal development and growth. So there's like two different sides of this, that some are general and then others are specific. As you get older, you typically need more specific.
That's a good point.
So like the general typically is your teenage years, your early young adult years. Yeah. You're trying to figure out, what do I do with this? It was a funny thing. And my dad can laugh about it, but when I was going to propose to Malina, I said, yeah, man, I don't even know, like, what do you do for like a ring? How do you figure this thing out? And like, man, it's just overwhelming. He said, yeah, you know, I don't even remember what I did for that. He said, yeah, but.
It's so special.
He was literally like, yeah, you know, you'll figure it out though. Thanks, and I was like, well, thanks, you know, like, golly, man, you know. So I did, but at the same time, like, this is a
life. She said yes, spoiler alert.
She did, yeah, absolutely, for sure. You can see. But like, so it's like one of those things where you're like, whoa, how do I navigate this major life shift? I'm having my first child. I'm, you know, buying my first car, buying my first house. I'm doing all this stuff. What do I do with this?
It seems like there might be a pain point for some people.
Yeah, no, for sure. Because, right. And this is what I think it was for even my father, was he didn't have, you know, he was my dad. And it's like whenever your parents cross over into mentors, friend stage, it kind of gets weird in general. But he didn't have anybody that taught him. He figured it out. So because he figured it out, the pathway in which he's helping me think about it is figure it out, because that's the pathway he navigated.
Yep.
So he doesn't have the equipment to walk with me through it. Right. So what do you typically do? So you typically sit in the difficulty, or this is very Gen Z millennial.
You go to YouTube.
You go to the experts. And Jordan Peterson's like, make your bed. You know what I'm saying? He's like, do this. And you're like, oh, okay, well, I guess this is what it means to be, you know, male in 2023.
So now we're getting into the ennui of the 21st century and the deep existential loneliness and the feeling of isolation. Right, exactly. Okay, wow.
So, but there's those two categories, general and calling based.
Am I right, though? My sense is that you have a longer history with mentors, and I'm wondering even if that's accurate. if that has something to do with the Black church or the tradition that you grew up in, that that was more of a thing.
It's funny, man. When I was up until probably around 25, 26, I was very frustrated. I wanted mentors. And part of it was I saw people that I respected and thought would be good mentors. And this is part of the issue. So let me answer this question. Do you need a mentor? I think yes. Right? I think we all need people in our lives who are voices of reason, voices of perspective, voices of wisdom. But I think this is very important for people to hear, and maybe even for you to hear. It doesn't always look the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at people and I said, because of their great knowledge
mm-hmm.
and because of their great understanding of complex concepts, they would be a great mentor. Sure. That's not always how it works.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that's rarely how it works. Mentors need to have a level of compassion, sensitivity, humility, and also time to be able to give to you to properly care for your soul
mm-hmm.
and to properly help you. So I think, I think people need mentors and they need wise voices, but it doesn't always look like this one guru. So this is how I thought about it. It's going to be this one guru who has everything I need. And they're going to be the person that I can just sit that, like, I'm your Padawan. You're the Jedi master. Like, here, train me in the way. Teach me in the way. Do it. It's like, as you get older, typically people may disciple you that way. But as you get older, you start to realize that's not how it's deployed. And if it is deployed like that, typically you don't become yourself. You become a clone.
You said that word disciple. Do you think Christian discipleship is the same as mentorship? Is that our...
No.
Mentorship?
Definitely. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Like, I think there's levels to this, right? So again, I think there are general people who disciple you in the way of Jesus.
Okay.
And then I think there are mentors. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. Huh. Like, I personally don't think every person who disciples you is necessarily, oh, that's my mentor. Like, there's just someone who's discipling you in the way of Jesus.
Okay.
Right? And this is important because I think the distinction I'm making is because a lot of people experience spiritual abuse right there. That's where people experience spiritual abuse. It can be a case where it crosses over, but honestly, a lot of times what happens is this person becomes your life guru. They're teaching you how to read the Bible and have a devotional life and do all this stuff, and that's great. Or you're learning amongst a group of people. That's awesome. That's why I say discipler, because they're training you in the way of Jesus, but then they start to, you're like, oh, well, I should manage my money like them and do this like them and do that like them. And it's like, sometimes in a healthy version of discipleship, you can do that confidently. Other times it actually becomes a place where you're manipulated into believing all the things they believe, thinking the way they think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you start to become a clone of them, read all their resources. And here's where I've seen this negatively.
Yeah.
I've seen this in white reformed evangelicalism.
Yes. Big time.
Where these guys who are 21, 22 are talking about things they have no idea. So they're poo-pooing justice and they're doing all this stuff. And it's like, your mentor is reading, you know, Theobros.
Yes.
And he's teaching you the way of Jesus. And he's teaching you how to be a good husband, a good father, according to the way. But the problem is he hasn't done the work in this area. So now you adopt all his thoughts on that.
So would you say mentorship sort of is more emphasis on the application part?
Absolutely. Yeah. I would say mentorship is more emphasis. How I define it, it's more emphasis on the application and also emphasis on how do we actually live life well? How do we live life well? And dare I say, how do we live life skillfully?
That's good. So a couple of things come up for me. One is formal mentorship and informal mentorship.
Right.
I think what we're talking about, without saying it, is more formal mentorship. Although, you know, the reason I say that is because I think for most of my life, I have not had formal mentors. And part of that comes from a sense of not wanting to ask for help.
Right.
Like,
now we get to the point, because yeah. we were getting ready to get there. Like,
because there's a sense in which if you ask, hey, will you mentor me? It is a very humbling posture. It's to say, I'm figuring things out. I don't have all the answers. And to take that extra step of saying, I need help.
Yes.
And I think that holds a lot of us back. One
heel black
probably
man.
Say it holds a lot of
heel black man
of going to someone in a posture right. of humility yeah. and saying, you have something I don't. Will you share that's with me?
Yeah, that's very humbling.
It's extremely humbling. And then you want to get it right. All right. So one, you're risking rejection of somebody. And they probably anybody you would approach to be a formal mentor probably won't just stiff arm you. But they may not have time or they may not be in a season of life where they could do it. But that still feels like a little bit of a rejection. And then, you know, getting the right person who can actually help answer the questions that you have is not always straightforward.
Yeah. So this is so good. This is so helpful. I think it's going to be really helpful for people. Getting the guidance you need requires humility. And humility looks different in this space than simply just being like, oh, I'm a lot of people think humility is you beat yourself up about what you don't have or don't know, or you know, I'm nothing, I'm dirt, I'm a worm. You know, that's a very white evangelical form of humility. Right. But I think it is just the wisdom to understand, I don't know everything I need to know yet. Mm. And I'll probably never know everything I need to know. But what I need to be able to flourish in the calling God has given to me feels a little bit elusive right now. So I need someone to help me see around the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
And I need someone to help me see ahead and to see a couple of steps ahead, because they're already there or they've been there and they know what that feels like. They know what that looks like, right? So I want to talk more about this after the break, because I think we're touching on something important. We'll be right back here on Pastor Mike. Hey, everybody, this is Tyler.
This is Dr. Jamar Tisby.
And we are excited that you're listening to this episode of Pastor Mike. But let me encourage you to support us. You can do so by going to patreon.com/Pastor Mike. And for just $1 an episode.
Just a dollar?
Now, that's the bare minimum. That's four quarters. But if you want to go higher, okay, 5, 10, higher. 15, that's 20, right. 25, whatever it is, that will keep this show going and keep the high quality that hopefully you enjoy. So thank you for listening. But you can take it to the next level.
patreon.com/PassTheMic. We appreciate you. Hey folks, Dr. Jamar Tisby here, and I want to make sure that you know about the Justice Takes Sides brand. This is merchandise, this is apparel to help you represent your values. This is about getting people off the sidelines and into the struggle for justice that's ongoing today. Go visit justicetakesides.com, get your merchandise and apparel there, and follow us on Instagram at Justice Takes Sides.
So Jamar, I was talking about how this takes humility if you want to have a mentor and you want to admit it. Here's the thing I think that's been very helpful for me. There are different forms and different stages of mentorship.
Hmm.
So for me, we have our peers, right? Mm-hmm. These are the people we're rocking with pretty much in the same stage of life as we are navigating it. Then we have our big siblings, you know? So these are siblings who are ahead of us, a few years ahead of us. Maybe even not necessarily older than us.
Hmm.
Yep. Maybe even not necessarily 10 years older. Like right. I'm thinking of a couple of people I'd say, yeah, they're probably like 5-6 years older than me, maybe. But I would consider them big bro, big sis.
Right.
You know, they're the bigger siblings in this regard. Then we have like kind of mentor status. They're kind of like people who are helping us navigate it. But they're also navigating some things too. And then I think you have the gray-haired spiritual father, spiritual mother, which you're more son and daughter to them versus, oh, I'm just kind of receiving some guidance. I drink from their wisdom because I am in their orbit and they're healing parts of my soul.
Yeah.
Right. So I feel like there's different levels and layers to where it's like, there is no archetype for a mentor.
Yeah, that's good.
There's like no archetype where it's like, oh, this is one, ways. It's just one guru and everything. And here's another way that has been really helpful for me. It's freed me up in terms of this idea of mentorship is not thinking about mentors, but actually thinking about a life board.
A life board?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that.
So a life board. So I think this was coined by Dr. Darius Daniels. And he talks about, I have different people in my life for different purposes.
Oh, like a life board of directors?
Yeah, board of directors. Yeah. So I have different people in my life for different specific things.
Yep. Yep.
So I have one person in my life that's speaking more to my health. I have one person in my life that's speaking to business. 100%. One person in my life that's speaking to ministry. I have one person in my life speaking to family. And that has been freeing for me because I don't think I have one mentor.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think I have people on a board that I would say, when I hit a major, like so recently I had a major disappointment. And it was pretty devastating for me. It wasn't anything that, it was a tragic situation. It was just an opportunity that fell through.
Yeah.
So when I hit that disappointment, I said, who do I need to talk to about this? So I need to talk to my ministry mentor. I need to talk to my mentors helping me live justly. I need to talk to my therapist. Probably don't need to talk to my business mentor at that moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Probably don't need to talk to my connections guy at that moment, right? Or connections person at that moment. I probably don't need to talk to them. But like those two or three, I probably should.
That makes sense.
Or I just need to talk to my peers, you know, tell them what's going on and tell them this is what happened, or one of my peers, because I told them to pray. And now it's like, it didn't go the way I expected. And it turned on a dime. So it was very devastating and disappointing for me. So I'm like, here's what I need to do. I need to talk to these two people out of my five or six that I have that I trust.
So I think it's helpful for people to think through right now or after they listen to this episode, who is my life board? Who are the people who I go to and I trust their wisdom? It doesn't mean that you have to do everything they say, but it means they can give you other perspectives on things.
Right.
Now, for me, it's helpful first to actually figure out what I think and feel
about
a situation.
No, 1,000%.
I feel like you have strong opinions that you can get to pretty quickly. It takes me a lot of simmering. And if I get external input before or too early, I won't actually know what I think or feel about it, you know? So I think there are thinkers and there are feelers, right? Just to put a clunky binary.
And then there are dreamers.
And dreamers, I guess.
That's my thing. That's my thing. Thinkers, feelers, dreamers. It's coming out 2028.
2020 never. I hope. Okay.
20 never.
So, you know, but in my view, thinkers can kind of boom, 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 like logically get to a point and say, okay, this is what I think about something. A feeler is going to feel it all and then figure out what they think about it, right? And obviously it's not mutually, blah, 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 all the caveats. But I just know from experience for me, the challenge is trusting my gut, is getting clear on what I think or feel and getting input at that point so that I can sort of check myself, right?
So here's what I've experienced to your point. Yes, I could probably get to what I think very quickly, but I can also tank very quickly.
Okay.
So I can tank in my emotions really quickly. I'm prone to the roller coaster.
Mm.
So I'm prone to being really high or really low.
Mm.
And so especially when I go low, I need somebody to pull me up real quick.
Yeah.
That's how I've typically thought of it, because I can get to what I think, but when I'm low, I can't trust what I think there.
Ooh, that's good.
So I got to help. Somebody got to pull me up and say, no. Whoa. Let me talk you off the ledge real quick.
Yeah.
Like you're thinking wrongly about this. So one of my elders actually.
That's good.
I just so happened to be talking to him about it the day it happened. And he was like, whoa. He's like, No, like he was very casual about what I was devastated about. And I was like, wait, like, why are you? He's like, well, because I feel like there's so much. Do you see this? Do you see this? Do you see this? And I don't want you to get so low that you can't see what's positive. This is not breaking you. Like, this is just, you need to.
That's such a healthy moment and voice right there, because you have to have people in your life who tell you what you don't necessarily want to hear, but you know is true.
Exactly.
And it's not that you didn't want to hear it, but in that moment,
I didn't want to hear it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because see, this is the thing about me. I want to stay there.
Yeah, exactly.
So I want to feel sorry for myself. And my people are like, oh, no, you can't feel sorry for yourself if they the right people in that right. particular moment.
And what a mentor can do is give you that bit of wisdom even before you can fully absorb or receive it. But it's there and it's in the back of your mind. So a few things that I've learned about mentoring. One, I think there's almost an unhealthy pressure on Christians to have a mentor. In my experience, right? Like when I became a Christian, it was all about discipleship, discipleship, discipleship. You always had to have somebody showing you how to walk through the Bible, how to live holy, how to do this, that, and the other. I understand the spirit behind it, but goodness gracious, how quickly we go overboard into almost abusive situations.
But see, this is what I'm talking about. Yeah. So in black churches, and so I'll just say this, in black church, you know, you call in. So this is mentorship in black church, right? But so I'm very careful about, so in black church, what people typically do is they have a mentor or someone they consider a spiritual father or mother in that way, who's operating in that role spiritually, and they call them dad and mom and all this. I'm like, bro, you got a father wound. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be careful about that type of stuff, right? Like, okay. I'm being very careful about that because it gets into the abuse to where then now they start to control you. And in some cases, people tell you, oh, if you haven't given your spiritual father $10,000.
Whoa.
Like, what's he? Seriously. Like, this is a thing.
Whoa.
People are like, oh, you know, the principle of the Taruma and all this. So you got to give them tithe to them. I'm serious.
An individual. Wow.
I'm serious. And I don't think it's wrong to bless the people who bless you.
Sure.
I'm just saying it starts to get into what you're talking about, which is that abuse.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think the Christian spin on mentorship can put this pressure and urgency on people to where you're not being a good Christian if you don't have a mentor constantly.
No.
And the reality is, I think a lot of this stuff works in seasons. And you may have a mentor in a season, and may not have a mentor in another season. The way I've thought about it lately is a few things. One, yes, we need mentors. And likely plural, right? So I have a sort of a secular life mindset coach. I know, associations, compromise, right? I have a therapist.
Yeah.
I have a group of people whose like business professional skills I look to for help. And I would say the closest thing I have to a formal mentor, and it's more in that I would put them in a sage category, is Bill Pinnell.
Yeah, definitely.
Who's 94 years young, and he lives out in Pasadena, taught at Fuller forever, was Tom Skinner's right-hand man, but has lived, more than half a century in ministry. And he's just that voice that when in my life something seems like a crisis, he can pull out of his 90-plus years and be like, actually, it's not that big a deal, and here's why. But does it in a loving way, a compassionate way. He's more of sort of a life, all of life kind of a thing, where I can talk to him mostly about like race and Christianity stuff and navigating that landscape. But I can talk to him about marriage and family, about job, about all of that stuff. Yeah. That to me is a massive comfort.
Yes.
Just to know
it is.
You have someone in your life like that, and just a beautiful, warm-hearted, kind man to boot. So I would say if you're looking for mentorship, two things, character and perseverance through hardship.
Yeah, it's huge.
Those are really key for
it's
me.
It's huge.
So character is the longevity of good works. That somebody's reputation, that they speak well about this person, right? They've earned that through faithfulness. They've earned that through loving kindness over years with people in all different kinds of sectors. So that's a huge one. Character counts. The other one, I said perseverance through hardship. For me, it's really important to receive from people who have gone through some things. And by things, it can be anything. It could be the death of a child. It could be a divorce. It could be being fired or laid off.
Yeah.
It could be addiction,
yeah.
persecution, all of those things. But they go through it in a healthy way, because a lot of us, and the temptation is always to find unhealthy ways to cope with difficulty. That could be through drinking, through sex, through overeating, through, you know, any replacing it with another addiction, right? Those are potentially potentially very unhealthy ways of dealing with difficulty in life. I want folks who have faced difficulties but found healthy ways to address them. And it just never ceases to amaze me, the humility, the rawness, the realness of people who are working through their stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what I want to receive.
I want people who are still in their age. For me, I want people who are still learning, and I want people who are still healing.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important. So yes, amen to the character and also to the perseverance through difficulty. I also want people who are healing and also people who are learning still, even in their age, or they're discovering new information, or they're listening to people,
yes,
or they're saying, wow, you know, one of my mentors recently, he mentioned something and I said, oh yeah, it's kind of like this, this and this. And he said, oh, you're the only person I can talk to about this. Like, and when he said that, I felt like, whoa, you know what I'm saying?
On the literature.
And I was like, wow. He's like, yeah, I can talk to you about this. And when he said that, it was really a comfort.
Yeah.
I want to say three things in closing for those who are young Christians, specifically young Black Christians. Okay, so number one, here's the reason why you need a mentor, because sometimes it'll hit the fan.
Mm.
It'll hit the fan. You need somebody you can call when it hits the fan. So if you're like, I don't know my life board, that is, who do you call when it hits the fan? You need somebody older than you. I'm telling you, you do. I've been there with my mentors this year where I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen after this. And they're like, let's pray. Let's talk through it. Mm. I'm here. Number two, this is very important. If you're trying to figure out how do I ask somebody, you need to ask,
yeah, right?
You need to ask. Good. You don't assume
no
that relationship.
Yeah.
You cannot assume that relationship. Cannot be like, they do my mentor. Did they agree to that?
Do they know?
Ask, and you know it's real when they verbalize it. I don't say it until they verbalize it, right? Like, some people are humble, and they'll be like, just, you know, help his life or whatever, help him navigate life. Okay, so you said it. You've acknowledged a relationship. And then number three, this is very important. You need to determine with clarity what access you have.
Hmm.
So this is how I personally view it. If someone is my mentor and they have verbalized that, that means I show up differently in their lives.
Hmm.
So what I mean by that is I take a care and consideration in the same way they've taken a care and consideration for all of my life. I take a care and consideration for all of their lives as well.
Wow.
So that means that I show up for them and support them vocally, verbally, in whatever way that I can, right? So this is very important because it's access. So if you're asking somebody, help me with all of life, show up for that person. Like, it's not a one-way street. Like, make it a two-way street that you can have healthy relationship.
Bless their life too.
Bless their life too.
Yeah.
Like, that's the purpose. And it's also important to think about this as a journey. Mm-hmm. There's going to be people that fall off.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be people that spoken. There's going to be people that try to become your mentor. Be wary of those people. Be wary of the people who volunteer what you didn't ask for. Be wary of those people. I'm telling you, if they volunteer, sometimes people just want to have stake in your life because they didn't accomplish what they thought, so they think they can accomplish it through you.
Ooh.
Be careful about the people who are vicariously living through your example and trying to then become mentors in your life. Let me teach you the way. No, they want to latch onto your success. Be very, very careful about this. And please consider this through your spiritual guide, your pastor, you know, those who are leading you in that way. Please consider this through them, because I'm not saying they will be your mentor. I'm just saying consider the wisdom of making sure they know who some of these people might be. It protects you from abuse and spiritual malpractice and all the above, mishandling. So this is just, I know this is a broader conversation. Sometimes it'll be formal, sometimes it'll be informal, but you have to ask.
That's good.
To ask.
Well, this is probably more information than a lot of people directly have received about mentorship. So I hope it helps some folks.
I think it's important. And I also think it's important for us to do this well, because now it's really been a scenario of I am honored and privileged to be big bro to some of the younger, you know, so I'm just trying to be
you getting big bro there,
and help them so I'm helping trying to navigate this stuff and figure it out. And so some of them are like, oh yeah, can you be a mentor? And I'm like, I don't know if I have time. Like, you know, I got to be careful about how much I spread, but I'm always here to encourage people and lift them up. And some people who are even listening have experienced that. I just want to encourage and lift them up, because again, when I was at that point, I didn't have that all the time.
Yeah.
And so I know how important it is. So hopefully this has been very practical. Hopefully it's been helpful for you as you navigate what it means to continue to progress in the calling that God has given to you. If you are on YouTube, why don't you go ahead and subscribe to us? Leave us a comment. Share with us if you've navigated this principle of Mentor's Life Board, how it's helped you, how it's maybe been difficult for you. Also, click that notification bell so that you can be alerted to whenever Pastor Mike drops a new video. If you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or any podcasting platform, we are there as well. Subscribe to us. Also, leave us a 5-star review and some kind words. Nothing less than a 5-star review, please. Okay. Do not disrespect us. Also, if you're feeling extra generous, to see God, like, I don't like ugly. If you're feeling extra generous, you can go to patreon.com/passthemic. And for just $1 per episode or more, if you choose, you can keep the lights on
and the mics on.
So listen, we thank you all so much for joining us on this episode, and we'll see you soon on the next
Pass the Mic.